Praise God. You know, there's something very powerful in Scripture. And everybody's in need in one way or another. Right? And when your need gets met, you're waiting for another need. Amen? And in that, the Scripture tells us very plainly and simply, seek ye the kingdom of God and all things will be added to you. Now, the kingdom of God is just not a location. It's not, doesn't mean go to church. I mean, it's a part of it because it's a part of fellowship. But the kingdom of God is its moral principles, its ethics, its spiritual laws, everything involved in the kingdom of God. Seek the kingdom of God and things will be added. So in other words, if you're not faithful with what you have, you won't get any more. And in this, what happens is the enemy tries to play with us because God is so desiring and willing to open the gates of heaven and bless us. But the enemy tries to get us into a place where he likes to cause leaks in our foundation. And if he can cause foundational leaks, things begin to happen we don't even realize are happening. And so in this, it's important because the word says he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And that's his job. And his greatest weapon is deception, and his power is fear. So he's not going to come up to you and say, listen, Ma, I know you got a lot of things planned today. And I want you to know that I'm the devil. And I'm going to do my best to prevent the plan of God to happen in your life. He doesn't come up to you every day. It should be automatically understood. If you don't understand that now, you're in trouble. He's after you. He's out after you, your life, your marriage, your relationships, your children, your finances, everything. He's after you. He has not changed either. He still comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He comes to discourage. He comes to oppress. He comes to blind. He comes to deaf. He comes to possess. He comes in many forms. He can come in as an angel of light. He can even come as a righteous minister. He comes in many ways. He can come as the sweetest of sweethearts. He can come as Jekyll and Hyde. He can come in many ways. He can come as the promise of God. Because he's the great deceptor. So you understand. So it's important that we begin to be honest. If you are not honest, you serve the wrong God. Honesty is the key to maintaining your foundation. Honesty. See, honesty, when you become honest with yourself, honest with God, and honest with others, you're checking your motive. Why am I doing what am I doing? You know, I was at the gym the other day, and there's this guy in there who's a believer, and he's in there all the time. I see him in there all the time. And he always wants to have a conversation with me, but I see the demon in him. He's always trying to compete or cause an argument, you know. So there was a conversation, something about war. And, you know, we were talking about military and about war. And I shared that, you know, we are in a war. And we've been sent into this earth on a military mission, not on a religious one. We are called to battle. Our purpose is to destroy Satan's kingdom. And our destiny is to infiltrate the world system with the talents and abilities God's given us so we can rescue souls. And he started talking carnally. Well, God said, you know, we shouldn't kill and this and that. And, you know, I was explaining there's a difference between the word killing and murder and so forth. And anyways, it came to a conclusion that one of the whole, I said, all right, hold on. I said, I got to go right now because I got to finish this workout. I ain't got time for this stuff. So he came up to me later, and one of the things I said, you know, it's really important that we make what is unseen to become seen. If you're a believer and you don't make what's unseen to become seen, you're deceived already. And I said, why do you come to the gym? And he was like, well, I come to the gym to work. I said, why do you work out? And he says, well, because I want to help people get healthy, and I want to work out and get strong, and I want to look better. And I said, so who are you working out for? And he was like, what do you mean, who am I working out for? I said, who do you live for? I said, you come to this gym to work out so you can sustain on this planet and be in good health and prosper so that you can finish the call of God in your life? Or are you working out for your envious self? He didn't know what to say, and I left. But I left him with a definite, why do I work out? I'm proclaiming to be a believer. I mean, he just hangs around in there and flirts with all the girls that are working out anyways. He spends more time talking to everybody than he does working out. And I was like, man, you know. And when I saw this, I realized that there are cracks in his foundation. And there are leaks of contamination. And he is deceived and blinded. And this is where the enemy gets to us. And this is what's happening right now. You know, there is a flood coming. In fact, there's a partial flood right now, and it's going to increase. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. It says, you therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses. Commit these to who? Faithful. Faithful men who are what? Able to teach others also. In other words, faithful individuals. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life. In other words, those things that can contaminate an individual, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules or the guidelines or regulations. The hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, for which I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of chains. But the word of God is not chained. Therefore, I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. This is a faithful saying. If we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. Remind them. Everyone say remind.
Remind.
You know, one of the things, I was sitting in prayer, and I said to the Lord, I need to be reminded. I need to be reminded every day. I need to be reminded every moment. I need to be reminded because the enemy draws and tries to remove the things from us no matter what we do, no matter what we're doing, no matter where we are. We must constantly be reminded. I was telling, I need to be reminded all the time. I cannot exist and obey you unless I am reminded. That's why we have fellowship. Remind them of these things. Charge them there before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit. To the ruin of the hearers, be diligent to present yourselves approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness. And their message will spread like cancer. Hymenaeus and Philistus are of this sort, who have strayed concerning the truth. They've strayed what? Concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection is already past. They got any cracks in their foundation? Yeah. They've already strayed. And then what they speak now is cancer and it spreads. They overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, a solid foundation. Everyone say solid foundation. Of God what? Stands. It stands. Having this seal, the Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, you cannot cleanse yourself unless you are honest. Therefore, anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel of honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. In other words, we're not to be entangled in the things that will cause cracks in our foundation, leaking contaminations which nullify your witness, your relationship, and your advancement. You know, we were talking before about converting the soul and how we advance from each chamber in the tabernacle. And we advance from each chamber in the tabernacle by confession of decrees, by learning trials, and by testings of suffering. I'm going to say that again so you can write it down. We advance by confession of decrees, by learning trials, and testings by sufferings, which gains the trust of God. You are gaining his trust. Then you advanced. If you do not complete certain things, you haven't earned his trust. And you'll go on that cycle. You'll always have to go back until you complete. You'll never advance in the fullness that he has for you. In 1 Samuel chapter 10, foundational leaks, that's the job of the enemy. In 1 Samuel chapter 10, the Lord sends Samuel to anoint Saul, who will be their first king of Israel. And after he anoints him, in verse 3, he says, "Then you shall go on forward from there and come to the terebinth tree of Tabor. There three men going up to God at Bethel will meet you, one carrying three young goats, another carrying three loaves of bread, and another carrying a skin of wine. And they will greet you and give you two loaves of bread, which you shall receive from their hands. After that, you shall come to the hill of God where the Philistine garrison is. And it will happen when you have come there that to the city that you will meet a group of prophets coming down from the high place with string instruments and a tambourine, a flute, and a harp before them, and they will be prophesying." In other words, they'll be praising God, but the anointing is going to bring the prophetic, the prophecy. He said, "Then the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you, and you will prophesy with him, and you'll be turned into another man. And let it be when these signs come to you that you do as the occasion demands, for God is with you." So the Lord anoints Saul. And it says, "And you shall go down before me to Gilgal, and surely I will come down to you to offer burnt offerings and make sacrifices of peace offering. 7 days you shall wait." Seven meaning complete and perfect. He was trying to advance Saul. Because there's three levels of conversion. There's the good, acceptable, and perfect. So he was trying to advance Saul. "Till I come to you and show you what you should do. I'm going to cause you to wait until I come to show you what you should do." So it was when he had turned his back to go from Samuel that God gave him another heart And all those signs came to pass that day. So here the Lord called Saul, anointed him. And the reason why God called Saul is because Israelites rejected God as being king. And because they rejected God as being king, they wanted a man. They wanted something carnal. And they were warned, look, he's going to tax you, he's going to disappoint you, all kinds of other stuff. But they still wanted a man to be king. And First Samuel 15. So they wanted a temporary king instead of an eternal king. And Samuel 15. So the Lord tells tell Saul to go attack the Amalekites. And in verse 7, so Saul goes and attacks the Amalekites from Havilah all the way to Shur, which is east of Egypt. He also took Agag, king of the Amalekites, alive, utterly destroying all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep, the oxen and the fatlings, the lambs and all that was good, and were unwilling to utterly destroy them, but everything despised and worthless that they utterly destroyed. Now the word of the Lord came to Samuel saying, I greatly regret that I have set up Saul as king, for he has turned back from following me and has not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried out to the Lord all night. So when Samuel rose early in the morning to meet Saul, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul went to Carmel, and indeed he set up a monument for himself. So here was Saul. He was disobedient, first of all. He compromised. He didn't do exactly what, although he thought for sure he was doing the right thing. And then he goes to Carmel and sets an altar up, a monument above himself, because he was a good boy. And verse 13, then Samuel went to Saul, and Saul said to him, blessed are you of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. So he actually thought he performed the commandment of the Lord. But Samuel said, what is this pleading of the sheep in my ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites, and the people spared the best of the sheep and the oxen to sacrifice to the Lord your God. And the rest we have utterly destroyed. And Samuel said to Saul, be quiet. I will tell you what the Lord said to me last night. And he said to him, speak on. And Samuel said, when you were little in your own eyes, in other words, when you were humble, because pride goes before a fall, were you not the head of the tribes of Israel? And did not the Lord anoint you king over Israel? Now the Lord sent you on a mission. How many of y'all are on a mission? Amen. And said, go utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, fight against them until they are consumed. Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord? And why did you swoop down on the spoil and do evil in the sight of the Lord? Saul said to Samuel, but I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and gone on the mission on which the Lord sent me and brought back Agag, king of Amalek. I have utterly destroyed the Amalekites, but the people took of the plunder, sheep and oxen, the best of the things which should have been utterly destroyed to sacrifice to the Lord your God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, has the Lord a great delight in the burnt offerings and sacrifices and obeying the voice of the Lord? You know, many people think that their sufferings is better than their obedience. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of the rams. For rebellion is a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is an iniquity and adult idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord has also rejected you from being king. And Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandments of the Lord and your words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. He was a man pleaser, not a God pleaser. He was a what? He was a man pleaser. There's some specific things that will cause leaks in your foundation and causes a crack. And the first thing is reason. Reason. Why? Because reason will cause you not to be consistent. The second one is complacent or complacency. And what that does is satisfied with self. I'm good. I don't sin anymore. I don't need to do those things. I'm good. Reason, complacency will go to compromise, and that is the exchange of truth for the lie. That will become prideful, which is self-justification. And we'll go from pridefulness to anxious. Move out of God's timing. Anxious. See, Saul assumed everything was okay. He assumed. Oh, because I know this person, I know that person. See, Saul knew Samuel. Samuel knew Saul. So in this, there was an area to where he was comfortable with Samuel because he was getting his information from Samuel, from God. So because Samuel had called him and spoke to him from the Lord and so forth, he became comfortable with Samuel. But the problem was, he thought he could compromise what God was doing. He thought he could reason what God was telling him to do. You know, I know myself that if I'm in a military operation, I want the person that's with me. Not, I don't want somebody next to me that's going to compromise or be complacent or even have to have a moment of reason.
Yeah, but what about... Why do we have to pow?
You don't do that on a military operation out there. If you're in Vietnam, if you're in Iraq, wherever you are, and there's bullets flying around, somebody stands up to you and starts reasoning, you know what happens to them? They get shot and killed because they're now your enemy. Psalm 19. These will cause cracks in your foundation, and leaks will come forth of contamination. Psalm 19. Reason, complacency, compromise, pride, and anxiousness. Everybody's been there. We've seen that go right into that path. Psalm 19, verse 12. Let's speak it together, please. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. Keep back your servant also from what? Presumptuous sins. That's assuming. Let them not have dominion over me, then I shall be blameless, and I shall be innocent of the great transgression. So again, presumptuous sins is associated with anxiousness. Luke 6. Luke chapter 6. Hallelujah. Luke 6, 47. Is everybody there? Let's read it together. Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock, and when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against that house, and it could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. In other words, its foundation had no cracks, no leaks. It's solid. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. In other words, God is giving us revelation knowledge and information so that we can build this foundation and maintain it solid. Solid. Has everybody got it? And our foundation, of course, we know is in Christ. But there are foundations of leaks which are caused by the cracks of contamination. And these things will allow, you know, it's like being on a boat. So you the family vacation, hallelujah, love, family vacation, everybody's going to get on a houseboat. They're going on the houseboat. They're going on the lake. They're going to go out fishing and have a good time. And the seas are nice and calm. And they've got out there and they're cooking and they're doing all kinds of stuff on this houseboat. And they don't know that there's a pinhole leak. So they're going to take this vacation. They're going to be out there for about 7 days. And the first day, man, they're swimming and fishing, laying in the sun, and they're cooking on the boat, all kinds of stuff, and they have no idea. It just went down 2 inches. And the next day, it goes down another 2 inches, and they're playing. And now the lake becomes a little lumpy. Boisterous. A little stormy, you know? There's nice big waves, so they're really not noticing how that they just lost another 4 more inches. So it gets dark out. It's calm now, and everybody decides to go to sleep to wake up to floating hot dogs. Because the boat sank. And everything's floating now. Everybody's grabbing the raft and all the other things. But see, the enemy creeps in that arena. Even in this house that was built. See, what he does is when it's raining out, you're looking at a leak up through the roof. Man, I hope everything's cool. When it's actually leaking from the foundation. Remember, he always tries to distract you, compromise you, so that your foundation can get a crack and begin to leak, and it begins to contaminate. In Job 22, Job 22. In verse 15. Job 22 and verse 15. Is everybody there? Let's speak it. Will you keep to the what? Old way, which wicked men have trod, who were cut down before their time, whose foundations were what? Swept away by the what? They were swept away by the what? Flood. So all, will you keep the old ways? Will you continue doing the same old thing over again and over again, which causes a leak? Then people spend more time trying to fix all of these leaks instead of build the house of God. Foundation swept away by the flood. So it's almost like the days of Noah. You know, isn't that when the word tells us it will become the days of Noah? Many will fall from the faith. You know why? Because many foundations of believers, they'll begin to reason, they'll become complacent, compromise, they'll become to love the world more than doing the will of God. They'll allow self to lead them, but they'll call it the new creation because they're deceived. But you know, there's always a way out. God makes a way of escape for everyone. But if you're so caught up in the world, how can you hear? How can you see? How can you receive? Sometimes it takes a flood so that there's nothing else left, so that you have to cry out to God. You know, for me myself, I know that when I was in the drug world and an addict and so forth, it took me to lose everything until I cried out and was willing to do whatever it takes. See, being willing to do whatever it takes is not a one-time event. It's every day. It's every moment, every decision. Everything you and I do, we must be honest with ourselves. Why am I doing what am I doing? What is my true, pure motive? Am I honest with me? Am I honest with him? Am I honest with you? If there is no honesty in every area, your foundation is contaminated, cracked, and leaking. And it's just a matter of time where it crumbles. And no matter what you build on, it will collapse. It will not last. Galatians 5. Is everybody there? In verse 7? Galatians 5, 7. Let's speak it together. You ran well. Who hindered you from what? Obeying the truth. This persuasion, everyone say persuasion. How about influence? How about deception? Does not come from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the what? Whole lump. And this leaven is known as evil. Evil. So what's the enemy trying to do? See, so many times in the area of reason and compromise, we accept the little leaven. We don't take it serious. We just, oh. But you know what happens? It begins to build. Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4. Hallelujah. In verse 25. Therefore, put away what? Lying. Will lying contaminate? Yeah. Let each one of you speak truth with his neighbors. For we are members of one body. Be angry and do not what? Sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give what? So would the enemy, with this leaven, is that giving place with the devil? Yes. He said, do not give place to the devil. Why? Because it will contaminate your foundation, you. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good that he may. Now listen, look at what this says. It says, let him labor with his hands, not to build his empire, but that he may have something to give him who has need. In other words, who are you living for? Who are you really living for? See, when you begin to see who you're really living for, if you're really honest with yourself, then you'll realize whether you're contaminated or not. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, which will contaminate you, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. In other words, gossip, unforgiveness. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. In other words, make no place for demons, because they'll come and eat you up. They're going to move you so that you cannot fulfill God's will. They're going to cause leaks in your foundation. They're going to cause contamination. And it's just a matter of time when it crumbles. And you cannot build on it no matter what you do. It will always be an unbalance. It will fall off. No matter what you do, you can go preach, you can go do this, you can go do that. If your foundation is not solid, no matter what you build, will fall. And it's not accounted to you. Matthew 16. You came to hear the truth, right? In verse 5. Now, when his disciples had come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. And Jesus said to them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. And they what? They what? They reason among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. They got all frustrated. But Jesus, being aware of it, said to them, oh, you little faith, why do you reason among yourselves because you have brought no bread? Do you not yet understand? Or remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took, nor the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many large baskets you took up. How is it that you do not understand that I do not speak to you concerning bread? But beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. They understood that he did not tell them to beware of the leaven of the bread, but the doctrine of the Pharisees. In other words, be careful of the doctrine of evil, the doctrine of self. Self. The trinity of me, myself, and I. The doctrine of religion. The doctrine of religious evil causes reason, complacency, compromise, and anxious. Religion. Religion has two spirits, pride and fear. And fear is also associated with anxiousness. Religion. Is everybody okay? Let's go to Proverbs 1. Proverbs chapter 1, and verse 28. He says, then they will call on me, but I will not answer them. They will seek me diligently, but they won't find me. Because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, or the reverence, honor, and respect of the Lord. They would have none of my counsel and despised my every rebuke. Therefore they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled to the full with their fancies. For turning away of the simple will slay them, and the what? Complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will dwell safely and will be secure without fear of evil. So what they did is they lost the fear of the Lord, complacency. In 1 Corinthians 3, 1 Corinthians 3. Oh, hallelujah. Foundational leaks. In verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 9. Let's speak it together. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, another builds on it. But let each one what? Take heed how he builds on it. In other words, you must be honest. Taking heed means I got to be honest. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear. For the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work, what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on endures, he will receive a reward. And if anyone's work is burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet as through fire. All the work people are doing, there are many people who are doing all kinds of works, and it's not being accounted for. In Psalm 89. Psalm 89. Hallelujah. And then one more scripture. Then you can examine yourself. Psalm 89. In verse 11, Psalm 89, verse 11, let's speak it together. The heavens are yours, the earth also is yours, the world in all its fullness, you have founded them. The north and the south, you have created them. Tabor and Hermon, rejoice in your name. You have a mighty arm, strong is your hand, and high is your right hand. Righteous and justice are the foundation of your throne. Mercy and truth go before your face. Now, so if righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne, that means honesty. We must be honest. To be just is to be honest. Amen? There's so many people that want to pull the plank out of somebody else's eye when they have the National Grand Forest in their own. They can't even be honest with themselves, but they want to expose you. We must be careful in everything that we're doing right now. If you are in an anxious state, I can guarantee you it already started with reason. It started right with reason. So everybody got it. Then what did it go to? Come on. Complacency. Compromise. Pride and anxiousness. It all starts with a simple area of reason. Reason. Which is, you know, you can justify anything. Anybody can justify anything they want. Well, yeah, I'm doing this for the Lord, but, you know. Who are you really living for? This is what we must ask ourselves every day. Who am I living for? And who am I working for? And who am I really serving? Hebrews 6. Again, to maintain, the key to maintain foundation, your foundation, is to be honest with self, God, others. That means we must abide in his presence, his word, and fellowship of God, choosing not your own, but his. Hebrews chapter 6. You know, I look at vows. How many times people make a vow and don't fulfill it? Starts with reason. Then it ends up in anxious. Fear. And you know what protects fear? Fear protects pride. You know what protects fear is lying. Lying and anger, they protect fear. So you get around somebody who's angry, quick to shoot off, it's because they're protecting lying and they're protecting fear. Anger protects lying, lying protects fear. Something like that. Hebrews 6. Is everybody there? We want to move on. We want to go on. We want to advance. Not only physically, spiritually, but into the chambers of the tabernacle. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 1. Let's speak it together. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us what? Go on to perfection, which is the third level of conversion. Not laying again the foundation of repentance, which is the outer court, the first chamber, from dead works and of the faith toward God, of doctrine of baptisms and laying on the hands of resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the grace to come, if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance. In other words, there are individuals you can't help because you can't counsel a demon. God must draw them. Has everybody got it? God must draw them. You can talk to somebody until you're blue in the face, but you can see that demon there. So you can't counsel a demon. You must let the course run until that person eats enough dirt to where they sink. And they can't swim no longer. And they begin to call out to God. If they fall away, to renew them again. In other words, if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance. In other words, where's repentance? The first chamber. To bring them back and start them over again. Since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put him to an open shame. For the earth which drinks in the rain that often comes upon it and bears herbs useful for those by whom it is cultivated receives blessings from God. But if it bears thorns and briars, it is rejected and near to being cursed, whose end is to be burned. But, beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you, yes, things that accompany salvation, though we speak in this manner. For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have sworn toward his name. And that which you have what? Which you have shown towards his name. That you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And if we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish. In other words, lukewarm. But imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God made a promise to Abraham because he could swear, he made a vow by no one greater, he swore by himself. So he made a vow, didn't he? Saying, surely, blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply you. And so after that, he had patiently endured. He fought the good fight of faith. He patiently endured, and he obtained the promise. Foundational leaks. We must be very careful to be honest, to maintain the vow, the covenant. You reason on something, I can guarantee you, you just bit the bait. You already bit the hook. It's just a matter of the anxiousness. And next thing you know, the flood. Why keep going in the same cycles? Why keep allowing a repeat of the same things? Just be honest. It is the key to maintaining your foundation from leaks. Be honest. Who do I live for? Who do I work for? And who do I serve? Be honest. And when you're honest with yourself, be honest with him, and be honest with others. Amen? Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honest and blessed. And we thank you. We ask that you protect this seed so that it grows and bears fruit for your glory, that we may be able to see, hear, and receive. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah.